So the name of this show is Tweet Something Something Profit, and that's a meme from South Park. Can you believe it's from 98? That's an old meme, man. Collect underpants, something, profit. Gnomes had a sound business theory of doing business. So first, about myself, I'm Sakari Nahi. I'm an architect, the CEO of Composure, and I've been developing .NET since 2001, Azure since 2011, and last year I got the Azure MVP thingy. And Composure builds stuff on Azure PaaS. That's what we do. This presentation, it's a walkthrough of an Azure solution for analyzing and predicting and visualizing data. And our data, they are tweets. And that's a bit sad, but I hope that this presentation to you people gives some kind of an inkling of what kind of stuff you can do in Azure with these tools, so that you can, in your daily jobs, think about, you know, if you have sales orders or you have some product information or something, and you could utilize these techniques in predicting or analyzing or clustering that data you run into daily. So the tools used are cognitive services, HD Insight, machine learning, and a bit of Power BI. We'll be focusing on HD Insight and machine learning mostly, but as you well know, those are pretty huge pieces. I overshot once again with my presentation. Yesterday this was 1 hour, 45-minute presentation. Today this should be 45-minute presentation. Hey man, someone came in. So we are going forward fast, and that's the reason I'm writing the blog series, because I noticed that there's a lot of stuff I want to cover, and I can't today. So that was my wish. And what we are going to do, we are going to get tweets from a randomly selected presidential candidate of the latest USA candidate race for the presidency. And then we are going to run Azure Cognitive Services for sentiment and key phrases. And then we are going to do something to it in HD Insight. Then move from there to machine learning. Same data, it's been enriched and compressed and stuff like that in the way. And we are going to find clusters for content, retweets, and sentiment. Then we're going to predict, like, you know, if you were this randomly selected candidate and you wrote hypothetical tweet, how many retweets would that tweet get? And then we are going to look at all of that in Power BI, see a bit of visualization. So our random candidate is this guy, as luck would have it. Excellent luck drawing this guy, because he has excellent tweets. Sir, yeah, like it says at the bottom, many are saying I'm the best 140 character writer in the world. That's what he says. It's easy when it's fun. That's true. So he has 30,000 tweets, or that's what I fetched, and 30,000, well, that sounds a lot, but then I took the replies out, so we are left with about 16,000 tweets. 16,000 still sounds a lot, but machine learning, how much is 16,000 as a data set to spring from? That's not very much. So in machine learning, it's all about the data set, basically. The bigger your data set, the more lousy, the lousier your algorithm can be, and your prediction can still be accurate. So because we have a small data set, we have to have a good algorithm, and we'll see if we do. But that's what we're working with now. And also this guy with 16,000 tweets, he has like uplifting tweets. He has, I'm not sure if the middle one is factual or not, about windmills being the threat. He has these sour thoughts from Reddit. I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke. So the topics he speaks about are very diverse. So soon you will see how we do key phrases analysis. So those key phrases are very diverse as well. So they cluster differently. So prediction stuff, when you divide 16,000 with the topics he speaks about, our data set gets pretty small. But again, if you have 2 million sales orders in your company, it's a different story. All right, the flow we are going with. So we have tweets. Let's say, you know, they're in blob storage. Anyone can get tweets. Twitter has an API. Then we're going to go to cognitive services. And we are going to analyze tweet contents for sentiment and key phrases. Then we have HD Insight. Then we're going to do some queries. I'm going to show some, well, had to shorten that bit, but basic stuff, how do you create external, internal tables, a couple of cool queries, and then exporting stuff. And that data goes to machine learning, and then we're going to do the clustering and prediction stuff. And all of that will be in Power BI enhanced further, and then we're going to do a link pad demo on prediction. Tweet. When you get tweets, that's the stuff you get. There's a Twitter ID, there's text, date, favorites, and retweets. And this was Trump's top tweet during the campaign. That was a dig at Hillary. They had a dogfight about this email gate. And when you go forward from this, it should be cognitive services and our data flow. But now, at first, I'm going to show you a bit of the Power BI, what we end up with, so that you know what we're aiming for. And who's familiar with Power BI? Hands up. Okay, so not that many. Excellent. So Power BI, it's a Microsoft dashboard solution, basically. It can show visual dashboards and reports. Those dashboards and reports, it has capabilities so that it can show real-time data. They can be interactive. You can ask questions and stuff. And they can be embedded into your web solutions. And Power BI, it's progressing like crazy. So Microsoft is really focusing on this. So if you are planning on doing some kind of a reporting thing and you want to share it to your partners or customers or whatnot, then Power BI is something that it's smart to evaluate if you're using Microsoft Stack. And there's desktop and online. If you search something with Google, then you might run into desktop version, and that's a bit different. You can create reports in desktop and publish them to the online version. So that's the basis of that. So let's see if I can find the Power BI thingy. Here we go. So here's a one-page report. Oh my goodness. Did the screen change? Slowly it does. I'm unhappy with Dell right now. Can you see that report? Yeah. So what we have here is here on the upper left we have raw data, 16k tweets. I've taken the replies out in HD Insight, and there's sentiment analysis and there's the key phrases analysis there as well. And here on the top right, we have top phrases, so the most frequent used phrases in those 16k tweets from HD Insight as well. And there we have also bigrams, meaning two consecutive words, and trigrams. So three consecutive words, there are like New York used in 173 tweets, tomorrow morning Bernie Sanders, and these three, National Golf Club, Trump International Hotel, and so forth. So some of this analysis that what are the based on topics that Trump is speaking about. Then we have clustering stuff. So well-liked versus less-liked. There are 3.5K tweets that are well-liked and 12.5K tweets that are less-liked. Then we have average sentiment by year there. So you can see down is negative. So 2016, Trump took a downward dip in his tweets. Sentiment clustering, there's less of negative than positive, so there's more positive. But retweets by sentiment per tweet, there are more retweets for negative tweets than for positive tweets. Well, that's not a surprise. We know the media, what it's like, and people also. And then retweets by assignment. Those well-liked tweets, of which you can see there's just like under 25%, they handle like, I don't know, 80% or so of retweets. So focus on tweets, I guess. So this is the data we are getting, or the findings we are getting. And now we are going to move forward into the real stuff, into developer stuff. Oh, wait. There we go. See? If I go over time, it's because this is hanging. There we go. Power BI. And now cognitive services. So with cognitive services, How many have heard of cognitive services? Excellent. Not very many. So cognitive services are very easy to use, intelligent services based on machine learning that Microsoft offers from Azure as just REST endpoints. And they offer an amazing amount of stuff. So the categories that these services handle, there is language. So understanding voice commands, you need that somewhere. Do you do it yourself or do you use one of these APIs? Text analytics, that includes these topics, key phrases, and sentiment stuff we have here. Language recognition, spell check, translator. Then you have vision. So you send an image, it recognizes faces. It can group faces. It can recognize same faces and cluster those. Emotion, it recognizes if they're sad or happy. Computer vision, you have an image with, there's the hello all text there. If I took picture of these guys over there, beautiful, then that computer vision would say, hey, there's text in the image. It says hello all, we'll have something, something. So that's for stuff like that, the computer vision. And then there's moderation. If you have a forum or something and you want to see that there are no images or text that's, you know, inappropriate for the forum, you can use that for that. Speech, conversion from text and from speech to text. So that might come in handy, you know, in a case like this where you have a presentation and you want to translate this, well, not this, but maybe the future speeches. Speaker recognition, who spoke, and translator again from speech. So real-time translation of speech to another language. Bing search and Bing auto-suggest. And then knowledge, like recommendations, like you know in web shops, you know, other guys bought this and some other dude looked at these, if you look at that and stuff like that. So, and academic stuff like find citations for these papers and so forth. So, these are great for prototyping and some of them are great in itself. Many of these things are very easy to do with machine learning, but these cognitive services, it's like 150 euros a month for 100,000 calls or so, depending a bit on the service category. And you can batch those. So as an example, about the text analytics we do, so you can make 1,000 documents in one call, and you can make 100 calls in a minute, so that's 100,000 documents you are doing text analytics on. And if you can make 100,000 calls with 1,000 documents in a month for 150 euros, that's not bad. But the pricing is a bit funny with cognitive services because it doesn't go like Azure usually goes, so it doesn't price by usage. They invoice you by the tier you've chosen, so it's 150 euros if you take that tier, regardless of how much you use. Simply, you'll send up to text analytics, you'll send a JSON array of documents object that contains an array of documents, and each document has three properties: language, English, that's a good bet. I think there are like 8 languages there right now or something like that. So the most, you know, Spanish, I don't know if they have French, but German and some other languages, can't remember those. You send the ID, so when the result comes in you can match the IDs, and then you send the text you want analyzed. That's it. That's pretty easy. And then the response sentiment gives you same kind of documents array with ID and score. 0 is negative and 1 is positive. So it's normalized from 1 to 0, the value. And that's it. And then you get the key phrases. So it's an array of phrases you get from the key phrase analysis. And if this isn't easy, then nothing is. That's like crazy fast. We're going to see it in action later. So now we have a tweet. We run it through that API. We got the sentiment and we got phrases. So this kind of tweet had the sentiment of slightly positive. That's on the line for these tweets, you know, according to the machine learning clustering we're going to look at soon. And then phrases for this text was staff, people. This is a good example of how this doesn't understand the current time or culture, of course, since we know as people about the huge hullabaloo there was about Hillary's emails, right? So a key phrase here would have been email, right? But of course, this guy didn't know about the times we are having. So it just has a Microsoft curated data set. It compares and gives the result from. All right. We shall move forward into HD Insight. Now, this is the next step. After we have done those cognitive service calls, we'll put a CSV into HD Insight. But first, HD Insight. How many of you are familiar with that? Yeah, just a couple of hands. This is a huge offering. Basically, it is Apache Hadoop, which is this open source big data, you could say platform. I don't know how to call it otherwise because it's so huge. And this is Microsoft's SaaS offering of it. So basically, if you're like, okay, we need to do big data, we need to do crunching on a huge number of stuff, then you could put up that cluster yourself, or you can pay to Microsoft to Azure so that they manage your cluster for you. So it takes a bit of the hassle out if you want to. So it is a managed, like I said, they manage it. It's distributed. Hadoop is distributed. That's the whole point, that the calculation, the compute is done in a distributed manner. So when you throw a big workload at it, it distributes it to many loads, many nodes who do the workload. Map reduce cluster for your big data needs. And map reduce is like, how many have heard of map reduce? It's Google's kind of a famous algorithm. And basically what it does, it takes your whole data set, it segments it, it divides it to small pieces, sends it forward, it shifts and shuffles and filters and sorts, and then it reduces that to a smaller piece of data. And there's a swell image I found. But, oh yeah, Zoom isn't working because it's sharing the screen. I hope you are seeing. So there's an image. So basically there's input with three lines. It splits those lines to their own lines. Then it does mapping. It looks at the counts. It shuffles the same values to a same data item and then reduces by counting those and then final result. So basically reducing is the last step before the result, and all of that stuff before is basically the mapping. And that's the basis of MapReduce. And Apache Hadoop is about doing MapReduce operations on data. Now that when we look at the cluster types, because there's Hadoop and other cluster types, They are all about map reduce, but they work a bit differently. So Hadoop is the traditional map reduce cluster. Spark is in memory, so it's faster. It's in memory. It's of course more expensive, but it's a faster cluster. HBase is about non-structured data, so it's NoSQL database for stuff. And then Storm is for real time. So there are a lot of names. I remember the Storm about, you know, wind hitting your face and all the stuff, you know, events are coming at you at a rapid pace. So Storm can get those events and handle the stuff and then do the real-time analysis on it and throw it up next to the next step. So those are the cluster types. And then in addition, in Hadoop, there are two languages supported, Hive and Pig. So HiveQL is the one people use more because it's SQL-like, and that's very familiar to many of us. Time. Something's happening. Did it stop? Did you move, Carl? Don't move. I'm fine, thank you. So, two languages, HiveQL, SQL-like, that's used more, and then Pig Latin, Pig. And it describes the data flow of the MapReduce. And I'm told that it's better to represent some of the MapReducing problems, but I haven't done it myself, so I'm not very familiar with that stuff. The SQL, Hive SQL, is very easy to jump to. I'm gonna show a couple of things about it, like actually right now. So I'm gonna find my screen first, and then I'm gonna probably, yeah, that's on the way. I'm gonna kill that. right. Okay, and now Zoom works as well because it's not PowerPoint killing it. So, once you put up the cluster, you can find this link to Ambari tool from the HD Insights from the Azure portal. And once you click that, you get this kind of a view that has all kinds of statistics and everything there about how your cluster is doing and all of that stuff. But here on the right, there's this high view. And in this high view, you can do queries and store them and stuff. And you can do a lot of stuff with this. Well, basically, you can do the same queries with Shell, with SSH. You can do these via Visual Studio. There's a plugin for HD Insight and stuff like that. But this high view is very nice for demoing because it's the shortest step to having something functional. So we are here creating a couple of tables. So what's noticeable is SQL likeness, right? Very familiar. And create external table. So we create external tables. An external table in Hadoop is a table where the data isn't brought into Hadoop. So the data resides outside of the Hadoop. Now, what we have here is a row format delimited, meaning CSV, fields terminated by, that's a semicolon. So we have a CSV file. It's reading from the text file location that wasps there. Where's my, here. That means that it's the container you configured when you put up the your cluster, your Hadoop cluster. So with me, it's iGlueConf, container iGlueConf. And under there, I created files under data tweets. And when I do queries to this tweets table, that you'll soon see what they're like, they're just like SQL, it's going to fetch the data from the blob storage CSV I have there. So that's awesome. And then below we have the same kind of another table, phrases that we are creating. Now what's funny is that you'd think that this would work, like semicolon like that with an escape, and it does work in Apache Hadoop, but in HD Insight it doesn't. So you gotta use the other notation. The thing is, I tried to find from Microsoft documentation something, because I had CSV like that, and you know, you can't change CSV like that from different delimiter. So, and I noticed that in everything they do, they use commas or pipes themselves. So I think they are familiar with this issue. All right, so creating tables, external tables. Well, let's create an internal table. So internal table, surprisingly, is a table whose data is inside Hadoop. And it's just create table, no external keyword. Same thing except for stored as org. And org is this mythical beast, but also it's the way it's stored in some kind of a more efficient manner within Hadoop. It had a name, something. And then we insert stuff into this table we just created. Overwrite means that when we do this query, it's going to, of course, overwrite the stuff. And we use from tweets left join phrases. So we use the external tables we just created to merge these. Very familiar to all of you. And let me. And here we have pretty nifty regexp error-like. So I drop out the replies there. And those of you who are familiar with regexp might wonder, because I'm using this look ahead to catch these at signs. And here are two spaces, because in the data, I have @ immediately or @ after two spaces. So you might be wondering, why not just use the empty and zero or more denotation in the regexp? But for some reason, it isn't working. So if you are doing this stuff, all of these kind of things, you'll be running into these little niggling issues that you're going to spend your time on. But it's not that bad, since the big things like starting to use Hadoop, it's very fast. This is like very familiar to most of you. All right, let's see then couple of things. For example, ngrams. There are queries like this that take like ngram. It's a n long sequence of items from a given string. So if I have a sentence like in tweets, if I take 1 gram, it gives the most used words. If I have bigram, 2 gram, it gives the most used 2 words that are used sequentially, like after each other in those tweets, and 3 gram and so forth. So here I'm looking for from the phrases which has our cognitive service key phrases. So from the phrases, I put them to lower. I do have a touchpad. Oh, and then sentences explodes that string of a sentence into an array of words. Then n-grams does the recognition of the frequencies. And then here are parameters to n-gram. So 2 means that we are looking for 2 words. So 2 words that are mostly used together, like crooked Hillary. And then 100 most used bigrams. And then explode simply does it so that because this guy ngram returns an JSON object that contains an array of ngrams, ngram entities, explode just explodes so that one array is returned such that it's returning many rows, like SQLite, and every row contains one ngram object. So explode is mostly visual. And oh yeah, I thought that I might have to. I'm gonna press execute, but here you can see what it looks like. So Donald Trump, New York, President Obama, and frequencies and stuff. I'm gonna do execution, and if we have internet, it's gonna do stuff. Let's hope it's not too fast. Query has been submitted. So now you have to remember this is a cluster, so it's not like SQL. So head nodes, of which there are always 2, they get the command, and then they start giving the tasks out to worker nodes, of which I have 2. I have the cheapest possible cluster. Well, actually, cheapest would be 2 head nodes and 1 worker, but I have 2 workers. They are 83 machines, and it's 80 cents an hour. So it's $20 a day if you have the cheapest possible cluster up. The recommended cluster is €50 per day from Azure. So, you know, it's you don't put this up for nothing. So here you can see it's map reducing things, and then there's the result. If you look at the logs, there's a lot of info it's giving us up. All right, so what's funny, then there's a lot of this kind of stuff. Windowing, partitioning, looking at rows so that you compare preceding or following rows. So all kinds of stuff you can use to reduce the stuff. So if you have a row and you want a total or average or sum, you look at the preceding or following rows, or by time, like there we partition and range between a time zone, and that returns a time of it counts the total retweets per month for all months. Okay, so Hadoop has a lot of nice nifty functions for that kind of stuff, where you can reduce 5 events to a 1 event by averaging the data. All right, and then there is one more about blob save. So simply, I want to save about from our internal data table. I want to put it all into CSV in somewhere so that I can read the data in machine learning, and that's that. How simple is that? That's very easy. Insert override directory, and then fields terminated by. That's a fast bit of HD insight. And we're gonna go back to the presentation, and then we're gonna take on the machine learning. Bum, 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 bum. Machine learning, so who of you are familiar with Azure machine learning? Who are familiar of machine learning as a concept? That's excellent, like most of you guys. So machine learning, it's quite often it's about predictive analysis. You have a huge data set, and they speak of supervised and unsupervised learning, meaning if the difference is if the data has labels, if the data has some kind of metadata attached to it, telling what this data is. Is this data categorical? Is this data a feature, non-feature, whatnot? Or if the data is just a blob of something you have in your database, then it's unsupervised learning. But in all cases, we have a data set. And if you have a lot of data, a day's work in machine learning, just putting something together, will give you quite accurate predictions if the data is very good, you know, if you have a lot of it. But if you don't have a lot of data, you know, it doesn't matter how much of a genius you are with the algorithms, it won't help. So it's about the data you already have. And what it does is predictions. So machine learning finds patterns, indications in the data you have, and when you send a new event or item, it will give you prediction on what would the one field you are looking for, what could it be like if it conformed to the pattern you have in the data set you've given machine learning. So you know there are caveats there, of course. The data set and the new item you are predicting with, they need to be somehow comparable, of course, otherwise it wouldn't work. But machine learning, Azure machine learning, has many ready algorithms that are easy to use for an okay developer like you guys and myself. So basically, right now there's a lot of talk about data science and data scientists, and it's a new thing kind of in our field that companies are looking for data scientists. And it's a very needed role. Data scientists are important, but what's important is to understand that okay developers can do the prediction and the analysis stuff to a certain point. And we shouldn't be afraid of that because the tools are there. But after one point, it comes to, you are trying to min and max the accuracy and you have a million algorithms you can choose between. And it's like, okay, now I need some help. So basically, you create models, different kind of models in machine learning, and then you can publish web services from there, and then you can call those. That's excellent. Let's look at machine learning. It's not visible, is it? No, of course not. So here we go. Here we have some machine learning. I have many things going on there. I'm going to zoom soon. So that's not probably the machine learning tree that you're going to end up with if you build something. This is basically like three different experiments, kind of. So, but first, I wanna hear, when you start building an experiment, you come to a canvas like this that's empty. There are a lot of samples, so take one of those and look at those, you'll learn lots. But here on the left, you have the tools that you're gonna drag and drop to the canvas. So, you know, add columns and stuff. So I'm gonna open two that feel important here, because it's about data. So on the left, you have data transformation. So you're gonna work a lot with doing all kinds of tricks to the data, unless you did in HD Insight or somewhere beforehand. But, you know, clean missing data, join data, remove duplicate rows and all of that stuff. So that's important, data transformation there. And the other bit that's important is machine learning. So machine learning there on the left, that's the second bit. Once you got the data where you want it, then you can do the machine learning model training, have the intelligence there. And first you look at the train. So there's a train, it's open, there's train model, train clustering model, and so forth. So you'll pick one of those that fits your need. If you want to cluster data, out of your data set, you want to find the items that are somehow related to each other. They're nearby each other somehow. Then you got the clustering model. And train model is about the prediction. If you want to make a prediction engine, you drag train model. So the train model, you have two inputs. You have the data set, you plug it in, and then in addition to data set, you have the learning model. And that's the initialized model here, under machine learning here. And when you go to the learning model, that's the intelligent algorithm that does this thing. the mathematical algorithm, there we have different types. So classification. Now, oh, I'm gonna open. Is it working?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm gonna open a couple of these. I don't know if, yeah. I'm gonna open a couple. So classification, you can see, well, there are a lot of words, but see the first words. There's two class and there's multi-class. You wanna classify things into bins. So two classes, you have two classes, male, female, true, false, heads, tails, that stuff. You wanna have good, bad. They, if you create clusters first, you can name them yourself, and then it's good, bad, and easy, hard, and all of that stuff. Like in our example, well-liked, less-liked tweets, and sentiment, positive, negative, where do the cluster lines go? Okay, and then multi-class, you have more of classes. You want to predict, you have data from vehicles or furniture. You want to predict if that's a chair or a table or a sofa or whatnot. Then you have multiple classes, okay? And when you are predicting or working with numbers, so a line of things, a continuous thing of things, then you do regression. So you want to predict price of something. You want to predict people's height, or you want to predict something like that, age. Then you do regression, and there are many different options there. Microsoft has pretty good documentation on this. So the differences in many of those are they do the same thing, but one of them is a more accurate thing, but the training takes longer, or the memory footprint is bigger, or something like that. The main thing is if you read the specs and pick one that, okay, I'm doing multi-class, pick one. If you have a big data set, it's going to give you something that's pretty nice. So two other things, clustering and anomaly detection. I won't be opening these all, I'll just open this one too, and then we're going to go to my thingy. So anomaly detection is about stuff like, let's say you have a factory, you have a machine, a lot of events coming in, and you don't know what to do with that, because that needs a data scientist to really figure out. But if you want to know, you know, if something, there's a, if you want to know if it's going to break up or something like that, you can have anomaly detection. Just take all the data and keep it coming, and anomaly detection will tell you if there's a change in one of the sensors. It might not mean it's going to break up. It might mean it needs a cleanup, or it might mean something else. But then you know that there's something up with the machine, and you can call a guy, right? But if you want something smarter, then you need to really know the data. And K means clustering, and inside clustering, that's the only clustering thing. So it clusters stuff so that they are nearby each other. So let's go to this implementation here. Now, I have here on the left side, I have, you can see K means clustering there. There's a clustering, so it's a clustering branch. Then here on the middle, you can see two more clusterings here at the middle under normalized data. So we have two more clustering things. And then here on the right, we have the prediction thingy. So here you can see boosted decision tree, train model, score model, evaluate model. So training model is building the model with your data set. Score model, it scores the model against your sample data, you know, if it's returning, how well it's returning the results. And evaluate model is giving you results on the mathematical accuracy, and then you can improve and tweak it. We're going to go into accuracy a bit as long as I have time. So first bit, this here on the left, this is about clustering phrases. Phrases are text, right? How do you cluster text? We don't look at words, you know, if these words match. We use this feature hashing, and feature hashing creates a hash out of a text you give, and basically it recognizes some text components, and then this guy compares if this text has the same or similar hash to what this other text has. And if they do have similar enough hash, then they're clustered together. That's as easy as that. I'm going to show you like feature hashing. And this is like many of these tools you drag in, they don't have a lot of parameters. Column name, phrases, hashing bit size, 10 n-grams, 2. So it's looking at two consecutive words and creating a hash that's 10 bits long. Of course, if you put 17 bits long, it's going to be more accurate, take more time. These two, 10 and 2, I think they are the default values. So now we'll go to clustering numbers. Now we know how to cluster text. We hash it first. Clustering numbers, we are clustering retweets and sentiment. Retweets on left, sentiment on right. Retweets are integers. Sentiment is a float from 0 to 1. Nice. So there's what we do with this is we have numbers from whatever to whatever, but we need to normalize it. So the clustering doesn't really work if your data, the numbers, aren't normalized around 0. So you took normalized data and you plug, once again, you plug in the columns and then you choose the transformation method. And Z-score is one of those. That's the default. There's also stuff like min and max and logarithmic and something that creates tangents out of it. Sin, cos, tan, I remember from school, but really that's the extent of my, you know. So it's, but once again, when I went there and read about those, Microsoft has pretty well put down the main differences between these. But that's how you cluster numeric data. You normalize it and then you have a clustering there. About the clustering itself, number of centroids, that's the only thing I think I've changed here. So it's looking for two groups. It's sentiment. I want to find positive and negative groups, right? Now, if you look at these clusters from a Power BI point of view, we can see that well-liked tweets, they end up at 1,196. Oh, no, sorry, wrong way. They start at that. And less liked start at 0 and end at, of course, one digit less, 1,195. That's the line machine learning found. And then when you look at positive, positive sentiment is from, of course, to 0, but from 0.67. And negative sentiment is from 0 to 0.67. Those are the clustering lines machine learning found and that I've used in clustering. So it's not 0.5. And then we go forward into a training model. And here, first, the thing is, you have the training model that gets the data. So to that, I've attached the algorithm to do the learning boosted decision tree regression. And I knew that I'm looking for regression. Boosted decision tree regression is memory consuming, but very accurate model. So I was like, I'm going to pick this. And then I plug it in, and then I ran it simply by, you can just run this all from below here or click here, and there is a run selected down here. So you can just run one branch at a time. But when I ran it, I got the results. So that's the So that's the one above. So there's mean absolute error, 1,494. So I got that from the from the evaluation here at the bottom, evaluate model, and in every one of these components there is visualize. I click it and it opens stuff like this, and it gives me the values I spoke of. So what you do is you create one of these or you create two in parallel, and you compare these values, and it gives you the mathematical accuracy. So this is what I began with, and then how I wanted the mean absolute error to be lower than 1,500, because that's a lot of tweets or retweets. So I put this tune model hyperparameters in, and this is a guy that does the searching for you. How nice is that? Basically, you just put here, it's random sweep, maximum number of runs. Now it's one, because if you put five there, and you should have, one doesn't do anything, it just sweeps one. But basically, if you put five there, it's going to compare five different scenarios for you, for your data, and for this learning algorithm. It's easy as hell. Are we running out of time? No, okay, cool. So this is the result that we got there. And you can see that with these number of leaves, minimum leaf intensity, learning rate, number of trees, we got mean absolute error, the one that is lowest, 698. So you plug in those configurations to the learning algorithm, and that's the best you could find. You can do a full grid with the tuner as well, and that will find kind of the absolute best you can, but it's gonna take time because this took time, like 20 minutes or so as well. All right, I'm running out of time. The last thing I'm gonna show you is Linkupad. Very nice tool. So I have a C# program here, and I'm gonna give it text, and then I'm gonna run cognitive services and machine learning. There's a published web service, and now when I put I'm going to be the president of the United States, it gives me that probably it's gonna end up at 5,580 tweets, the lowest one there. And if I go negative on this dude, Obama endorsed crooked Hillary, he wants more years, but nobody cares. It's gonna give me 11,000 retweets. As a president candidate, I choose this in a heartbeat. It's double the power with the same amount of work. All right, a bit rushed ending, but I wanna say thank you. Cheers. Questions? You get the thingy. That was Aces. Oh yeah, I can repeat the question as well.
So did you?
Just mopping.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh.
Did you compare results from your experimental machine learning versus that cognitive search?
Yeah.
Sentiment analysis.
Yeah, I did.
Were you better?
I did. The machine learning, I did the key phrases thing, and they were the same. But I didn't do the sentiment because I don't have the sentiment data. There are open data for Twitter, at least. There is some open data that has the sentiment plugged in so that you can do your sentiment analysis with machine learning, but you need the sentiment data set. But that's downloadable. I think Microsoft might have a sample of that as well. So I did not, but that's an interesting... We might do that. Wanna join me with that? All right. But n-grams were the same. More? Yes? No? Maybe? Sir?
Yes.
You want this?
Sir. Well, what kind of language support does that cognitive services thing have? Does it understand Finnish, for example?
No. Nothing understands Finnish. Hell, even I don't understand Finnish. It's too difficult. But it has like 8 or 9 languages. I don't know if someone has the answer out the top of their head, shout out. But it's the most used languages. So I think it had German, it had Spanish. I don't know if it had Chinese, can't remember. English, of course. But yeah, it has the mainstream languages. So if your company is doing something international, go there. If it's doing Finnish stuff, then no dice. Maybe when we get Cortana... Good luck with that. So, any more? This is great invention, this cube. Excellent. Hey, thank you guys. I'm here for a couple of days. Ask questions whenever. And if you have problems, Carl is the guy to shout at. Thank you.